of the cross. I'll live my life as a rebel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Trust in the Lord Hour. I am your host, James David Rebel Manning. How's everybody doing today? Howdy, is the appropriate statement I should be uttering here today. Howdy, howdy. And that's our Annie Oakley secret code. Let me put my microphone on. You mind if I do that? All right, let's get that done. All right. Yeah, give me a moment to do that.
But I never get discouraged. Jesus is faithful and true. So when they call me a rebel, I am glad to pay the cost. To live my life as a rebel.
Let's start this all over again. Howdy, howdy. Welcome to the Trust in the Lord Hour. I'm, of course, your host, James David Manning, and Rebel Manning, now that all this is considered to be exactly what it is, that there is no way anyone who believes the Word of God today can be anything but a rebel, and a rebel with a cause. I want to thank Bob Jackson for turning us on to that. But the matter here is that we have before us a most wicked generation, and I'm rebelling. That's right. I'm rebelling against against the status quo. I'm rebelling against the religiosity, the churchianity. I'm rebelling against the son of Satan, Obama. I'm a rebel. I'm rebelling against that. Now listen, our theme has been now for 7 years, Trust in the Lord. We have explained to you that I've long since graduated from faith. Praise God. Thank God. If anybody's in faith, you're doing well. You can do better. But I've long since graduated from faith. We are now at the point of trusting in the Lord. See, faith is when you come to Almighty God. His name is Jesus. You ask him to do something for you, and he does it, and he will. And without faith, you get nothing. By faith, you get it. By faith, it happened. Through faith, all things are possible. All things are possible through faith. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's what and when people come to the Lord by faith, then that's what's going to happen. And you read the New Testament and look at the people that actually got an opportunity to see Jesus eyeball to eyeball by faith. But I've moved on from that, and the Bible allows you to move on from that. There's a greater step. The other step is to put your trust in the Lord, to trust the Lord. Now, when you trust the Lord, it means you go to him and he has faith in you. That's what trust in the Lord means. You go to him and offer yourself to him. If the Lord is sorrowful, if the Lord needs an assistant, if the Lord needs a cup of water, if the Lord needs a donkey, whatever the Lord needs, if he needs to be anointed for his burial, you do that. You supply needs for the Lord. Just like when Isaiah said, I'll go for you. When God was in the temple in Isaiah chapter 6. Yeah. Trust is when the Lord has faith in you. Faith is when you have trust in him and he'll do it for you. Faith is when you've got trust in the Lord. You go to the faith, you believe the Lord, and you need something from him, and you get it by faith. And I encourage you to move mountains by faith. Move sycamore trees by faith. I encourage you. But I've graduated from that because there's a higher calling than faith. And that higher calling is trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. The Bible says there were 10 lepers. Y'all heard about them, right? Yeah. And they were lepers, and Jesus was passing by. They called out Jesus to heal them. And he healed all 10 of them at one time. 10 miracles right there at one time along the roadside. The Bible said they all got healed. And then they went to show themselves to the priest, which is what they were required to do by scripture. Moses wrote that law. And then after they went to, and then only one of them came back. You heard about that, right? Only one of them came back. Only one of them came back to say, thank you, Jesus. A lot of people are like that. But they got healed by faith. Now, see, had they trusted in the Lord, they would have come back and said, and that one fellow trusted the Lord. He came back. See, when you do something, when the Lord can depend upon you to do something, you give yourself to him. You really don't need anything more than to want to serve him. Once you, see, when you trust in the Lord means I've given myself completely. I'm the Lord's servant. I get his water. I get his coat. I fix his food. Whatever he needs, I serve him. I'm the Lord's servant. And you can only do that when you trust him. You don't go to him because you need something. You go to him because he needs you. I trust the Lord. He needs me. And that's why I'm giving myself over to him. Now, quickly, I want to say to you that, you know, you heard about the rapture, right? Well, a lot of people like to argue about the rapture, about pre-tribulation, you know. I can tell you now, if you're out there thinking that you're going to be raptured before the tribulation, you're wrong. And somebody lied to you. Or somebody made it lie. They just didn't know what the Bible says. No, you're not going to be raptured before the tribulation. Well, what kind of sense does that make? The Bible says that after the tribulation, then the Lord will appear. But at any rate, the thing that I want to express to you, if both by faith and trusting in the Lord, if you got a store-bought faith, you got a faith that has been based on churchianity and religiosity, let's say you got a faith that has been kind of put to you by someone who really doesn't have the power to dispense faith. Let's say somebody like a Joyce Meyer, for instance. She doesn't have authority over you. She doesn't have authority over your demons. A woman does not have authority over your demons. A woman does not have authority over you. God has not given her authority. This is consistent throughout all of Scripture. The authority belongs to the male, to Adam, to the husband, to the pastor. He has the authority. That's why you suffer not a woman to teach a man, because she doesn't have the authority. It doesn't mean God hates women. God loves women. Probably loves women more than love men. I know I do. But that's not the issue. The issue is not love, whether God loves or not. That's not the issue. Is whether a woman has authority over you. And she doesn't. Now, she has authority over her love for you. But when you, let's say when you get, you're listening to Joyce Meyer, or let's say Juanita Bynum, for instance, or what's that other woman name? I don't know what her name is. Running around there with T.D. Jakes. Divorced her husband not long ago. You know her. Paula White. Let's say you listen to one of them. They don't have authority. They don't have authority. They don't have authority over demons. They don't. When did you see a woman cast out demons in the Bible? You didn't see it. You haven't seen it, not in the Bible. You haven't seen any woman cast out any demons in the Bible. She doesn't have authority. She doesn't have authority. She does not have authority. Now, it doesn't mean that, well, you see, you mix up love and authority. God loves women. I told you just a few moments ago, he loves the woman more than he does the man. That's not the issue. The issue is authority. And so if you're listening to someone who doesn't have the authority to put the word in you, then you're getting fables. Because they don't have the authority. They can stand up and do what they want to and swing a Bible around all they want. But if they don't have the authority, my friend, they don't have the authority. They don't have the authority over demons. They don't have the authority. They don't have the authority. They don't have the authority. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. So now what happens is that if you're listening to someone, and let's put it this way, because now you're all upset about, well, I like your smile. Okay, all right. Well, I'm not going to argue about that. I don't have time to talk to you about that today. But let's say, for instance, this is about like Joel Osteen, right? And he's not called of God, right? Well, you don't have to agree that he's not called of God. I'm saying that he is. You're just listening to me, and I'm teaching you listening. We'll have an exam later, and then I can correct you. But let's say, for instance, you listen to Joel Osteen, right? He doesn't have God's authority. God does not give him the authority to preach or teach. Doesn't give him authority over demons, right? So now, when Joel Osteen gets up and people go to his church or whatever it is he has, that barn of his, but he doesn't have authority. So if you're listening to a Joel Osteen gospel, he doesn't have the authority of Almighty God to speak the power of God to you. He doesn't have the authority of God's power. He doesn't have God's power. He doesn't have the authority. He may know some things in the world, some Hollywood things, you know, some theatrics, and, you know, he may know some, you know, speech things and some development things and, you know, self-improvement. He may know all of those kinds and may work a good show, but he doesn't have authority over the power of God. And so you're listening to someone who does not have the power, the authority over the power of God. And God gives that authority to the man, I'm telling you, unto his pastors, to his preachers. But just because somebody jumps up and says, okay, I'm preaching because I'm charismatic or whatever it is that they think they are, I don't know what they are. They don't have the authority. They don't have the power. God didn't give them the authority. God did not give them the authority. Joel Osteen, he doesn't have the authority. I don't care, you know, how, you know, he's able to do all kinds of wins friends and influence people. He does not have God's authority. He doesn't have God's power. So he must have somebody's power. Okay, we know who it is. You know who it is. I don't have to tell you. But I think the sad thing here is that a lot of people sitting there listening to women, like Joyce Meyer, for instance, or, you know, Juanita Bynum, or Paula White, or any of them out there. There are a whole lot of them out there. They actually got women as pastors in churches. Ain't that nothing? Is it ridiculous? They don't have authority. They don't have authority. See, well, they went to the seminary, and then the bishops ordained them. I don't care what seminary they went to, or what bishop ordained. They don't. You have to have the authority from God. You have to have the authority. By what authority do you speak? They actually asked Jesus that question. You know, by what authority do you speak? You know, you're not old. We're all Abraham's children. You got to have authority. You got to have some authority coming up in here talking to us. Well, the Jews don't talk like that. Coming up in here, coming up in the Hamites talk like that. Up in here. Up in here. The Jews asked Jesus, what kind of authority you think you got coming up in here? Anyway. No, you got to have authority. You have to have authority. You have to have, if God doesn't give authority to the woman, I didn't say, well, he hates women. Boy, all the women going to leave his church. All the women going to stop listening to it. No. No. The truth of the matter is, I say this kind of quietly, the truth of the matter is, the woman has authority over the man. That's right. And the man has the authority over the word. That's right. No, she does. Every woman has authority over the man. She does. That's how come when Eve came back and told Adam, well, what I did, he did it too. But you get the idea. It's not really biblical. Not what I'm talking. What I'm trying to say to you is that a woman is in submission to the man, and in a mission, in her submission is her authority. This because she has his authority. See, if I tell one of the captains of the church or one of the elders, I say, "Go and do yonder, go," and I give him my card, my bank card or something. I say, "Go and purchase such and such for the church," right? Well, they have my authority to go do it. If I say, go and purchase some food and take it to this shut-in, sick shut-in member of our church, they have the authority to do it. Actually, you know, so when you are in submission, you have the authority of the person you are submitted to. If you're submitted to Joyce Meyer, she doesn't have any authority. You're submitted to Joel Osteen, he doesn't have any authority. But here, remember out there in the wilderness where Jesus was teaching, where I had that revival out there, 20,000 people, 5,000 men. And the little boy had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Y'all remember that, right? Well, Jesus blessed the loaves and the fishes. And then he commanded, he said, command them to sit down. Sometimes I have to command people to sit down in the church. I not only command them to sit down, but I command them to shut up too. Sit down and shut up. Anyway, so then he gave the authority to the 12 disciples. And you know what they did? They had the authority. They took those five loaves and two fish, and because they had the authority of Almighty God, they had the authority of Jesus, they went out there and they fed the multitude with the authority. So you got to see, when you are a woman, has the authority of a pastor. If he ain't got no authority, then now he may have a whole lot of stuff. He may have money, he may this, that, and the other. But you want the authority of God to cast out demons. You want the authority of God to break yokes. You don't want to just go someplace and sit down and be in there just because, you know, the paper guy, he's got a nice theatric things going on, got a nice choir going on. You want the authority of God. And the woman who submits to her husband has her husband's authority. That's right. She don't have to have her own authority. She can have his authority. And when you submit to your pastor, then you got his authority. When you rebel against your pastor, you got the recourse of a rebellion coming back at you. So submission, wives, submit to your husbands. Why? Children, obey your parents. Why? Because you'll have the authority of the head of the house, who is the husband, the father, the authority. So that's what I come to talk to you about today. So when you put your trust in the Lord, and this is my final statement, you put your trust in the Lord, you put your trust in the Lord, then you have his authority. Because quite frankly, what you do is that you say, I have need of nothing, but I'm here to serve you. Like the other day, I was talking about that woman who had that precious perfume, and she washed Jesus' feet, and she did it over against his burial. Mary Magdalene and Martha and all other crowd running out there in Matthew's Gospel 28 early in the morning. Well, they were late. It might have been early in the morning, but they were too late for Jesus. He was already gone. But the prostitute had already done that. She had the authority to wash his feet. She was at his feet. That's where you need to start sometimes, at somebody's feet. And Jesus said, did y'all leave her alone? Then she's doing this. I'm giving her the authority to anoint my body. He told Peter to be quiet. Today we say shut up. I don't tell Peter to shut up. I don't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But when you give yourself to the Lord, when you say, I trust you, Lord, I'm giving my, whatever you need, I'll do it. If you need someone to bring you water, need someone to do this, if you need someone to fight the battle, you need someone to go to Harlem and stand in the middle of Harlem and preach to the Hamites and also the Sodomites, hear my Lord, send me. That's trust. That's trust. I trust you. I'm here to serve you, not you serve me. I'm here to serve you by faith. Now, faith is something different. Faith is when you come, Lord, I need them. I got a broken tooth. I got something. I got a broken leg. Anything. Lord, I need a healing. By faith, you'll get it. Lord, I need to move this mountain that's in my way. I don't feel like climbing it today. Well, by faith, you speak to the mountain and the mountain move. Mountain, get out of my way. That's by faith. But when you trust in the Lord, you say, Lord, here am I. Use me any way you want. Any way you want me to go, I'll go. Anything you want me to say, I'll say it. Use me, Lord. I'm your servant. I'm the Lord's servant. I said, I'm the Lord's servant. Use me, Lord. And so those are the things I wanted to teach you today. And I thought maybe you might be. So you watch out who, if you're dealing with someone. Now be careful. Just because somebody's out there preaching, got a church and got a congregation, a choir and a Cadillac, don't mean that they have God's authority. Watch out. And if you're wasting your time with someone who doesn't have God, they may be charismatic, they may be this or that or the other, you know, they have a great choir and people sing well and one thing after the other, but they don't have God's authority, then you're sitting upon someone without God's authority. That means you don't have any authority. You can be well assured that the women don't have the authority. The only way a woman's going to have the authority is she's going to submit to somebody who does have authority. That's just how it is. I mean, that's just how it is. They try to confuse you and say, well, woman got the authority to do. That's the same thing as saying that two men can give birth to a baby. It ain't going to happen. That's where all that come from. Until when they started putting these women in the churches, then they made the next leap of putting two men together and having them married in the church. It's just a procession of things. That's all it is. Every woman pastor you see is a participant in bringing about the Western Japheth world of sodomy. Because once you start saying the woman, you know, has the authority, you could then say that the man and the man got the authority to marry, which is ridiculous. But that's where it comes from. Its root is in the fact that the church started some time ago disobeying the word of God, fighting in the face of God. You got to see a woman, a great woman, submits to a great man, then she's got great authority. She got his authority. So find somebody who's got authority and submit yourself to that person. Man, you're going to go way. You're going to do wonderful things. You're going to do wonderful things. But you got to find somebody who's got the authority of God, the power. They got the authority to use God's power. God does not give his authority to use his power to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, or Susie, Jane, and Barbara. He doesn't do it. I said he doesn't do it. So, you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. Paul writes that in Ephesians that women need to submit to their husband's authority, and the children need to obey both of them. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. When you do that, that means, listen, Jesus. Listen, Jesus. You got to be very careful, too, by the way. You know, you got to be, you know, Paul writes, and he's clear about that. Suffer not a woman to teach a man, because what happens is that then the woman then says she's got the authority over the man. And you need to get under his authority. And then the world works wonder. The world is working the right way. You got the clock going counterclockwise. You got the cow by the tail. You got the horse before the cart before the horse. All these women, you know. And so what do you mean, Pastor? You mean that God can't use women? Did you hear me say that? Listen, did you hear that come out of my mouth that God can't use women? Did you hear me say that? I just told you that God used a woman to anoint his body. I just told you that. She submitted to him, and that's why she anointed his feet and not his head. She showed submission to his authority. She was submitted to him when she anointed his feet. She didn't anoint Peter's feet. Talk about it. You run around talking about, I said that God don't use women. I never said that. I never said anything like that. The woman with the anointing oil there in the Gospel of Luke, she anointed his feet. How much more submitted to any man can you be than to wash his feet? But she was under his authority, and she got in the Bible. I don't see you in the Bible or any place else. I see your name in the criminal records of the many. That's why I see your name. People whose names are like their faces always seen in public places. I don't see your name in the Bible. She was submitted. She washed his feet. How many of y'all are willing to wash your husband's feet? Okay, let's see now about that, all right? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I got to go. I'll get back to that, though. I'm not through with this, but I have something else I have to teach y'all today. But remember, faith is when you go to the Lord and you need something and you get it. You actually have a mountain move if you want. But then you're going about your business. Trust is when you go to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm here to be a miracle. I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to be a comfort to you. I'm here. Use me any way you. I put my trust in you, and he puts his faith in you, and he uses you. That's a graduation from faith. I graduated from faith. Members of the Outlaw Word Missionary Church, we've graduated from faith. We're trusting the Lord people now. Anyway, I have got to go now. I got another message coming up called Make It Rain! Make It Rain! Make It Rain! Make It Rain! And it was taught at the pulpit of power not long ago. Mrs. Engineer, please roll that clip.
Ask them people trying to take this building. So here, God has to protect his word. This sodomy business is an assault on the Bible. Jesus said that I'm not coming to change anything that Moses said. They are assaulting with every implement of destruction they can. But God said, make it rain. Make it rain. Make it rain. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I think I need to advise you before I move further that Satan has used the media to increase the appetite for forbidden flesh. Y'all stand up. I got a letter today from some guy down in Illinois. Somebody. Person been writing to me for 7 years. So I knew it was who. I knew who it was. I opened it up anyway. And up the letter. And the letter had the cut out of a newspaper the words, "Thank God he made me gay." Then I had a picture of two men going to town. You know, the person that wrote me that really believes. They really, truly believe that God made them that way. And they said to me, "Manning, you need to try it." The media, now the church, if the church is the last to come on board, Catholic churches come on board, they are increasing the appetite of people, of humanity, for the forbidden flesh. And what's worse is that they're not so much after you old people, they're after the young ones. They're after the ones on Kindle. They're after the ones that says that I need a computer to do my homework assignment. They're after the four-year-olds and the five-year-olds. If you can plant a seed from Kindle of two women to a young girl at 5 years old, she's hooked for the rest of her life. She's hooked. No, she ain't gonna get away from that. She's hooked at 5 years old. You know, y'all listen to me, you know I'm from North Carolina, right? No, it ain't down North Carolina. It doesn't could be finer than to be in Carolina. You know, most of my mores, my mannerism, even my language, the way I say some words, you know, all come from where? North Carolina. I learned them when I was 4 or 5 years old. I learned how to talk in North Carolina. I learned how to talk in New York. I'd talk like a New Yorker if I learned how to talk in New York. I learned how to talk in North Carolina. I said, I talk. That's why I come on country. And as old as I am now, it's still in me. That North Carolina stuff is still in me. I got it at 5 years old. Those are the years that are most impressionable. And my daddy put stuff into me at 5 years old. My uncles, the church, they put things into me at 5 years old, 4 years old, that will never leave me. Will never leave me. I'm going to be country all my days. I'm going to be country all my days. That's just how it's going to be. Now, what Satan's plan is, and he's using the churches to do it, Satan's plan is to get a Kindle in the hands of a five-year-old. And let them sit quietly. Sometimes it's a cartoon. It's not even two people. It's a cartoon. It's a woman with a long ponytail and another woman with a ponytail kissing one another. It's not even a real flesh. But it's it. That's it. That is it. That is it. The seed goes in. Goes into the blood system and down to the up to the lips and down to the vagina. Your child is through. Toast. It's over with. You got a lesbo in your house. Or you got a homo in your house. And they don't know. They think that I was born. No, hell you weren't. You saw this and became this way. But you weren't born that way. No, you weren't. you don't realize that you had a taste of this. And this is, I wasn't born speaking North Carolina. If my mama had had me in New York or Hawaii or in Japan, hell, I'd be speaking Japanese. I was born and I learned to speak North Carolina in North Carolina. Your child weren't born, oh damn homo. They saw it on Kindle or somewhere and they got injected with it. And now that's why they're homo. They weren't born no homo. Weren't born no lesbo. Unless you want to call God a lie. And you better watch that because I got a gun in there. Well, anyway, don't be lying on my door. Talk about how God been a lie. See, take your seats. Did y'all get that?
Yes, sir.
Preach the word. Make it rain. Make it rain. Now parents are going to check their children's Kindles. They probably ain't got no business having one. Make it rain. Now you know how to pray for your children. And everybody out there saying you were born that way, I guarantee you, you born here in New York. You can't talk North Carolina. One of the, it was euphoric at our dinner table at our house, right? From down in the islands. Try to get me to talk island. Hell, I ain't from New Island. I can't talk island. She talk island. Good Lord. I can't talk island. I can talk, I tell you what, forget about island. You talk North Carolina. No, I'm simply trying to make a point. Nobody is born talking island. Nobody's born talking North Carolina. And ain't nobody born a lesbo from their birth. You have learned that. I want to cast that devil out of here today. I'm going to walk all on that devil today. I was born this way. So it's important that we understand. I got another one for you. Hey. This is good. This will really get you. This will get you. This will really knock you down. The other thing, when you argue with that, you say, yeah, you're right on that one, Pastor. This will really get you. Hey, I got news for you. Did you know you weren't born a racist? Did you know that? I swear, when you came out your mother's womb, you didn't know black hair. You couldn't see. You didn't know you weren't a racist when you came out your mama's womb. You didn't know that, did you? You thought you always hated white folk. No, you learned that. Somebody told you to hate white folk. You've learned that. You've learned that behavior. Somebody told you to hate black people. You weren't born hating black people. Somebody told you that's what to do. The television, the media is access enemy number one. The same old group is at it again. Teaching people how to hate one another. And Obama is a master at teaching people to hate on each other. You weren't born a racist. No. And so down in North Carolina, they didn't teach me racism. They didn't teach me to be racist. My dad didn't teach me to be racist in North Carolina. I came up, I learned how to be a racist in New York. I said, oh, that's why you do this. That's how it is. Well, hey, white. So I people are marching around carrying the signs saying black power, Ungawa, black power, big old afros and everything, the African black and red flag and everything, had a pick in the back pocket there, hate whitey, get whitey, you know, black power. I said, oh, that's how you do it. So I got in line too. I started marching around, hey whitey. I'm talking about hey whitey, hey whitey. I stopped, everybody else was marching. No, you learn. You learn. All right, one more. And I promise not to inflict myself upon you any further. Did you know you weren't born a failure? Stand up, stand up, stand up. Did you know you were made in the image and likeness of God? You were wonderfully made. Now, you've come down a whole lot, but you weren't born a failure. Anything you failed at, you weren't born to fail at that. You become a failure because you've learned failure. You've learned it from others. Failure. You've learned to make excuses for not hard work. You've learned to fail. You are automatically a success. You were born. You were born You were shaping it in the power of Almighty God. You don't have to fail at anything. You learn how to fail. One more. So before I finish, I'm no failure. Not me. You don't know how to defeat me. That's why I like Mom and Ali said, I'm the greatest. He's a bad boy too, by the way. He learned that down in Tennessee. He learned that in New York. He didn't learn how to be the greatest in the Muslims. He learned that before he ever met them. He learned that down in Tennessee. How to believe in himself. You weren't born. Anybody here who's failing right now at anything, I don't care if it's school or anything else, you weren't born that way. You just become a failure. It's in you. You like it. You don't want to rise above it. You're too damn lazy to try. You don't even reach out. And you got too many other things in your way that you're supporting that's blocking your way to success. You weren't born a failure. What kind of God would cause you to be born to fail at everything you do? Guess what? You weren't born disobedient or stubborn. When your little baby crawling around there in diapers, your mama said, come over here. You came. You did. She goes, sit down. You sit down. Now, crying is something a little different. But anyway. But then you learn, wait a minute now. I can talk back to my mama. You got about 5 years old, right? Let's try this one. I want to talk back to my mama. And so, mom said, Johnny, put that down. No. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus Christ. It's murder time. Don't see that little baby said, no. Good God Almighty. You talking about killing somebody? The mama say something to the boy. Daddy say something to the little boy. The boy say, no. And they say, well, please. No. So, Lord, you weren't born like that. You've learned that. And that's what this word teaches us. That's what this word teaches us. This word teaches us. This word teaches us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This word teaches us that God is our creator. We didn't evolve from some monkey. We didn't evolve from some tadpole. God Almighty created us. I'm made in the image and likeness of God. I'm a bad mama jack. Good God Almighty. You ain't single, by the way. I'm a world leader. I'm a butt kicker. No failure. You don't know how to beat me. I'm nobody's failure. I wasn't born one. Born down there in North Carolina. Amen. Well, all the strong survive. You take your seats. So racism, we need a preacher. God needs a prophet. Telling people, you weren't born this way. Somebody told you to be a racist. All right, so here. One other thing I'm going to throw at y'all, right? We are, God has called me to lead to the 1,000-year reign of peace, right? I'm a Hamite. He couldn't call a Jew to do this. Moses was a Jew. Moses led the Jews. But he couldn't call a Jew to do this. Not a Jew. Couldn't call a Jew to lead the Hamites. So he called me. He called David to clean up Israel. But he's called me to build Harlem. A Hamite. You got to call a Hamite to lead Hamites. Nothing against Jews. They've had their day. But God has called us, who are the last, to lead to this 1,000-year reign of peace. Now, we can't do it as racists. Amen? See, a lot of people, that man don't like black people. He Nelson Mandela was a good man. That damn Nelson Mandela, it ain't a hole in hell deep enough to put him in. He don't like black people. We black people, we got to stick together, Pastor Matt. No, God don't need a racist. God don't call racists. So a lot of people, well, he preached against the black man. Said the black man ain't never done nothing. Well, the other thing, God don't need any liars either. Black man ain't never done nothing. That doesn't mean he can't. His day has not come yet. His time, like our time, hasn't come yet. I don't know. It may take another 10 years before we stand on that stage in the great palace of worship, but we're going. Our time, our day has not come. We're in the midst of the prophecy. No, black folk haven't done anything. But they will. And what they do will be greater than anything else that anybody else has ever done. But you got to wait on the prophecy. You got to wait on the word. Wait on the vision. Though it tarries, wait on it. It shall come and speak and not lie. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, you Hamite people. He don't like our first black president. I ain't never seen about crazy people talking about Obama, first black president. We got a black president now. And that man talk about that black president. I ain't never seen no fool like these fools in these churches calling Obama the first black president. And even if he was, I said he had to have a black mama and a black daddy. I swear, I tell you the truth. His mom and daddy both could be black as Lamont Monroe. And Lamont Monroe was blacker than a washpot. Even if he was, had a black mama and a black daddy, he lived in Hawaii. Hell, you can't be no leader of black people coming out of Hawaii. You got to be born in New York. You got to be born in the hood. You got to be raised up in the, you can't be raised up in Hawaii. What the hell kind of beach boy? Y'all seen that crazy these niggas? He's a beach boy. That's the craziest. I swear I ain't never seen nobody as crazy as these people. These churches, these preachers jumping up and down. He's our first black president. Church member, we got a black president. We put a picture on the wall. It was black president. And that man don't like our black. What black president? You ain't got no black president. You ain't even got a black dollar. You ain't got nothing. See, when it's what God wants us to know. And you go back and tell all these people that hate me, say I'm not a brother. When you fall for the first boy coming along, driving a red, shiny, convertible Chevrolet, and you get in the car with him, and y'all drive off the lover's lane, you're hooked. What you need to do, you need to have a strong father. Need to tell you, that boy done been with all the girls in town. And he ain't going to treat you no different. You need to wait till God brings somebody. And God may bring you a boy driving a mule and wagon. Now, for some of y'all, that don't cook. Y'all know nothing about that. But if he's the one and the mule and the wagon, that's the one. So y'all jumped on the bandwagon with Obama. He wasn't the one. God didn't send him. The churches jumped on Obama, but God didn't send him. And now you can see clearly that God didn't send him. We need to wait. Maybe there's somebody else out there crying righteousness. But it ain't Obama. So God's going to set us free through the preaching of truth and righteousness. You know, I said, and many people know about this church, they won't come in the door because they think I don't like black people. But now think for just a second. They bring their children to the school, right? No church they've ever been in has ever treated their children the way that Elder LaFleur treats it. Take the time with them when he should be home with his own children, helping them to catch up. The breakfast that we serve every morning, never the standard falls. Always the waffles are right up there every time. They're always sweet and soft and hot. Syrup, the butter, the eggs, the bacon, the standard never falls. Feeds, and there's no price. Come and eat without price of money. The churches with 1,000 members wouldn't serve you a breakfast. They'll sell you a stale chicken dinner with some collard greens and rice if you got $5 or $7.75. But you ain't getting no free breakfast in that church. No, you're not. Not the church that they go to. The church that they go to, they say they hate me. They go to church, and ain't no way your children ever get fed. Think of how ludicrous that is. Think how silly that is. But when you're blind, you're just blind. That's why if your parents aren't members of the church, you ain't going. So why should the children suffer because of the parents? Because God said they should. And not just the children, but the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren should suffer too. You got a crazy parent? You're going to suffer. And I'm going to see to it that you do. Why? Because if the moment I leave God's word and change this, these people will tear this house down so quick, that'll make you hit me. I have to stand on the word of God. Got to stand on the word, God's word. So at any rate, I simply want you to know that the flood's coming. Jesus said, those that build a house upon a rock. All we have to do, Elder Smith, all we ever have to do. I don't care what kingdom comes. I don't care what media arises. All we ever have to do is for me to preach this word. It's precious. As long as I preach this, you're going to be protected. I don't care what giant comes in the world. I don't care what Obama or his mama or anybody else. As long as I preach this, this is our guarantee. And I know it. I know there ain't no defeating this. I know it. The wicked can spread themselves like a green bay tree. But as long as you preach this word. And I'm going to preach it. And we're going to lead. Yeah, we're going to go to Asia and we're going to get them to come back. We're going to offer them the cup of the blood of Jesus. But the economic collapse is coming. Stand if you will, please. I'm not running out of gas, but when I was driving home from Auburn Prison a Thursday morning, my brother-in-law was driving. And we were driving out of the hills, Schenectady, the mountains, the Appalachians, over the route in the States, 87, I think it was. I'd just been released. I'd been in Rayford. I'd been in the Palm Beach County Jail. God Almighty. I've been to Dade County Jail. I've been in Dannemora, Comstock, Green Haven, Sing Sing, the Tombs. I've been in all of them. I was scared of the Tombs, quite frankly. The Tombs, I'd heard so much about it. And then finally I got a chance to see it. I was in the Palm Beach County Jail because when they wanted to extradite me from Florida to New York to stand trial on New York, they bought an airline ticket, sent two police to bring me back on the airline. So I, packed all my bags up and everything. I neatly got in a little car, and they were getting ready to drive to the airport. So when they got to the airport, I said, "Hey, fellas, guess what?" They said, "What?" I said, "I ain't getting on the airplane with y'all. You think I'm crazy?" That blew their minds. Calls. I said, "You try to put me on the airplane, I'm going to fight, scream, and cuss like you ain't never seen nobody. Ain't nobody going to fly on that plane with me." This is the time when they were hijacking planes too, by the way. So they put me in the Duval County Jail for 2 nights till they could get some other police come down, and they drove me back to New York, handcuffed, sitting between two police officers, handcuffed, all the way from Jacksonville, Florida to New York. But at any rate, they stopped at the West Palm Beach County Jail that night, put me in there. That's an awful place. Dark inside there. I mean, you couldn't see, you know, what people were doing, what these inmates were doing. They put me in there, pushed me in there, didn't tell me where to sleep or anything. A bunch of dark people looking at me when I come in there. I said, well, here I am. I was in prison, so I was pretty cleaned up. They're all just coming out the street. Doc, you can't see nothing in the Palm Beach County Jail. They put me in there. I didn't know where to sleep, where to sit, what to do. Anyway, so I'm coming home, right, and I finally get loose of prison. And the world has said I'll never be anything. You can't vote. You ain't gonna never be nothing no more. The women I was married to and whatever else I was doing told me, you ain't gonna never be nothing no more. You ain't gonna never be nothing no more. We gonna find somebody who can be somebody. You ain't gonna never be nothing no more. Oh, where the hell did you get that from? Who told you that? Who told you that? I'm mean. What I want to do is this. We're going to go to Seoul. We're going to Beijing. We're going to Haiti. We need leaders. We don't need failures. We need people to move the stuff out of their lives that makes them failure. I'm no failure. I wasn't born a failure. I was born to success. I was born to succeed. I was born to succeed in any and everything I do. And you were too. Somewhere down the road, let's say, for instance, you slap Elizabeth. I don't care what you do. That hand that you slapped Elizabeth will never prosper. You slapped the wonderful Elizabeth. You slapped her, you. You slapped her. It isn't that God didn't make you success. But that hand ain't going to never prosper. And that hand's connected to the rest of your life. And everywhere you look, you're going to find trouble. You ain't going to never make it. You ain't going to never make it. You keep trying. You keep coming to the church. You keep hearing it. But you slapped her. Who told you to do that? Who told you you could slap her? Who told you? What I'm simply saying to you is that you got stuff going on in your life. Racism. Running around here telling people that the white man's against you. Who told you that? Many of y'all got sodomy in your life. Running around here talking about you born that way. No, the hell you were not. And you ain't gonna never succeed. And you're definitely not gonna see it. Imagine we out here and somebody say, Pastor man, you know you got a man that's a homo in your on your elder list. What? What you say? Yeah, Pastor, you ready to talk about chasing homos out there? You better chase them one you got inside that's sitting on the front row. You ain't gonna never succeed. You'll never succeed. What we gotta do? When I came home from Rayford, from Auburn, I understood I'd got to get got myself right with the Lord. I told my grandmama to mind her business. Lord have mercy. I should have never told that woman that. I should have never told that woman that. I got it straight though. See, the way we're going to rise is that you can get that stuff in you that's in your life. That rebellion that's in your life. That disobedience that's in your life. That slapping, that backstabbing. All that stuff that's in your life. It's too heavy for you to rise. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. You got to let it go. It's a burden. Let it go. Got to let it go. And when you let it go, then you're going to have strict mega success. The hand that once slapped Elizabeth now is prosperous. And everything that you do with that hand prospers. You sit down and have a turkey wing with somebody that hates Pastor Manny. You're dangerous. Did you know that? You're dangerous. You really think God's going to lift you up to bless you so you can demonstrate more hatred towards his servant? He ain't going to do that. Here's a prayer. I have a prayer. Can I tell this prayer? The prayer. And I feel comfortable praying this prayer. There's a young boy in this church. His name is Israel Lewis. That boy is talented. Now, I know he sits in the classroom. He won't do a thing. I know. He ain't telling me nothing. I don't know. I see him. But that boy is talented. Not only is he talented musically, but he has a wisdom of a 50-year-old, 80-year-old man. He understands things. I know he don't pay any attention to y'all. I know he don't. I know. But he can play that piano. You ain't never seen about no Bill. Billy Preston would have a hard time. Scott Joplin. That boy gets on that piano. Or that organ. Or the drums. Or whatever. Here's my prayer. His older brother, Elijah Lewis. Elijah, don't ever let that dime store pimp of your brother called Sharif Lewis talk to Israel. Don't do it. Don't do it. Elijah, if you let that dime store pimp Sharif, he'll poison Israel. Now all that talent will go away. He'll like 15 years old, 20 years, and he can't play anymore. See, right now, God can use him for this house. But if he sits down and talks with Sharif, it's going to be all over. And so, many of y'all got your Sharifs in your life. And that's why you can't prosper. You can't love Sharif and love me too. You can't do that. If you love Sharif, you don't love me. If he loves his brother, then he can't love me. If he can't love me, then he can't be abusive. See? So that's why you're failing. That's right. You either love one and hate the other, but you can't serve both. So your child, you want to live your life through your child, right? And your child is living the life of a dog. That means you living what the hell is going on in there? What the hell? So here, how do we deal with this? The word in here ought to let you know that success, mega success, is all over the place. But you're not rising because you're getting held down by weight. Get rid of that weight and you will soar like the eagles. Check it out. God didn't make any failures. You may not understand this and you may never understand, and that's okay. But Butler, I have to put people out of here that are working again. If I don't do it, they're going to come eat me. They're going to destroy the children. They're going to destroy this house. I gotta get rid of them. Well, I don't know why you put such and such a person out. I think you ought to be.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.